but I could see you having like a spot one day in Mexico that you go to and enjoy. Instead of going to Jamaica all the time.
He thinks it's Puerto Rico.
I could, and you could tell people it's Puerto Rico. Yeah. But I could see you having like a nice spot in Mexico.
Can't do Mexico.
Really?
Why not?
The only reason I like to travel is to eat good food.
Interesting.
And Mexican food is just like, the best Mexican food is in America. And
is that true, though?
Kind of.
Maybe. I agree with you. Like San Diego and San Antonio.
Yeah,
and-
dude. The best street tacos I've ever had in my entire life, San Diego. Incredible.
Yeah.
And I got sick in Mexico. Twice I've been to Mexico, and I got sick both times.
Interesting.
Eating fucking whatever, or eating the
ice.
Is
it because the meat is just not a good quality, or the water?
I think it's the water, dude. I think whatever it is, and I think you got to be used to the bacteria and shit in the water. I don't know, dude. I just seems kind of fucking low rent to me.
Yeah. Well, there's that. It was a suggestion, but you're right. You're right. They're monsters.
I've moved on from Jamaica, though. I mean, I still go to Jamaica.
Where is the new spot?
Maybe Costa Rica.
Interesting.
Costa Rica is a shit.
Interesting.
Nick, have you been to Costa Rica?
No, I've only been to Puerto Rico. But
Rico sucks.
No, Puerto Rico's awesome. I think Puerto Rico is like the perfect, you know, it's close.
Right.
Yeah, you can go to Puerto Rico for a fucking weekend and you're not going to feel like, oh, there's all this extra stuff I could have done.
Right.
Yeah, you got it.
No, you go did. There's no
a
extra
day and
stuff.
A half, you get it all.
You go to the beach. There's three blocks of downtown Old San Juan that you can look at, and then that's it. There's nothing else there. There's cockfighting and maybe they have this like bootleg jungle that you can go to.
What's good about Puerto Rico?
The Oyunque rainforest.
Well, it's funny because
it's fake.
Yeah. Well, I guess they tell you they're like Puerto Rico is like a natural island, so it doesn't have any like big like animals or flora or fauna or whatever. But I'm like, is that how islands work? I felt, as in the Galapagos Islands, don't they have like the biggest turtles in the world?
Huge iguanas.
Yeah, I think Puerto Rico just kind of sucks.
They have shitty animals.
They have shitty animals. Like their whole thing is like this frog, and you go into the jungle.
The coqui.
Yeah, the coqui. And you go into the jungle, and the whole time the tour guide's talking about like they're building up this frog that's on all their branding.
Yeah.
And
is how much it sucks. It's a little fucking
tree frog.
And we get to the end of the walking tour in the jungle, and the tour guide's like, okay, so and now we'll show you the frog. And there's like a tree stump that's open. They're like, we have to be quiet so we don't disturb it. And this lady looks into the tree stump, and then she's like, okay, he's not here. Yeah, it was all leaves. It was basically, we saw a different type of leaf.
Well, half of Puerto Rico is that I forget what it is. It's either St. Regis, the Dorado. Is it Four Seasons, St. Regis? They have like this like development for people that want to pay 4% tax rate. Mm-hmm. So Logan Paul, Jake Paul, Peter Schiff, that guy who's like the economist, who's all of the people that don't want to pay federal taxes in the U.S.
Yeah.
They pay like 4%. The Ritz-Carlton Reserve. It's just a bunch of rich people that go like they pay 4% taxes.
There was also like Bitcoin guys trying to turn on Puerto Rico.
Tons of them.
That main guy, Brock, what's his name? The one that'll like go after you if you...
Lesnar.
No.
UFC guy, right?
No, Brock Pearson or something. He was in like Mighty Ducks. He was a child actor. I can't remember the story, but him,
Brock Pearce.
He was a child actor. I think he was in Mighty Ducks. I can't remember. But he got caught up in this scheme in like 99-2000 with this guy who was like a pedophile.
He was in Mighty Ducks.
Yeah. So he got caught up in the scheme with this other. It was him and two other guys. But one main guy was like he ran a production company that Bryan Singer invested in.
Ooh.
That would like convince young boys. They did like Real World with 12-year-old boys. But then they were like raping the kids and making child pornography. And the one guy got caught, but Brock Pierce, like, I guess kind of skated. So on Twitter, Brock Pierce, that was his story. He was in Mighty Ducks, and then he got caught up in this pedophilia thing.
Is this kind of, is there proof to this?
No. This is 20 years ago.
I just want to know exactly
this
what
is
we're
like,
for.
This is like pre-Pizzagate stuff.
Okay.
This was back like Hollywood is filled.
Is this like that Open Secret documentary?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I think this is part of that's in there. But
Den. Yeah. I get this.
Right. Yeah,
Garth Ancier.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Ancier, okay. And then
Gary Goddard, maybe.
Gary Goddard maybe sort of was involved. But there was a guy named, like, it wasn't Mark David Chapman, but he had a name like that. Mark David Rector. Damn,
okay.
Your brain still works?
Yeah, dude. I saw this documentary.
I couldn't remember the name of Argentina yesterday. Okay. I kept saying Argentina.
Well, yeah, I don't remember that stuff, but white pedophiles, I remember.
Damn, how did you pull it? Mark David Rector.
Because that's in the, there's a whole documentary.
When was the last?
Open Secret.
When was the last time you saw Open Secret?
Oh, I don't know. 7 years or whenever
it came
out.
Well, that's what I mean. You remember a name from that. Who's the agent? Mark Weiss?
Which agent?
There was an agent that was like, that's the one that's mainly featured in that.
That I don't know. But I know that documentary came out and it was ignored. Everyone in Hollywood ignored it, but it was damning. It was incredibly damning. It was a kid sitting in a drive-thru of like Del Taco calling these guys going, why did you rape me? And they were like, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that
was
to die. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Well, literally, he's like, remember when you raped me? And they're like, hey, come on. Stop. You know, we had fun too or whatever. Yeah. And he's like sitting in a drive-thru.
Yeah, no, the documentary is insane. But on that, when that came out, people would go after Brock Pierce, who had reinvented himself as a Bitcoin guy.
Yeah.
And he's like somebody.
Me and Nick should give the tours of Puerto Rico. You just hear this. It's a bunch of people sitting there like, fuck the frog. We're like, it's pedophiles. It's Bitcoin.
Well, Brock Pierce was offering like $50,000 bounties to anybody that could like unmask whoever was calling him a pedophile on Twitter.
Interesting.
Which means if he's paying that much to get the information, he's paying that much to. We have this person fucking killed also.
So he's got a lot of Bitcoin.
He was like an early investor.
Yeah, he bought on the dip. Yeah. Is what you're saying.
Well, that's the thing is because he's like the whole point when Bitcoin started, people were like, oh, this is for pedophiles and drug addicts.
Right.
And then fucking, so pedophiles and drug addicts were like, I guess
this is our dark web. Well, they're like, money on the dark web.
Was it all dark web originally?
And it's, but that was the thought. That was the use case for it was buying drugs or child pornography.
You want to get someone killed. Oh, I want to get hire a hitman to kill my wife.
So the worst.
Pay her in Bitcoin. Pay him in Bitcoin.
The worst kinds of people you can imagine. Yeah. Somebody trying to kill their wife or a pedophile. Those were the de facto early retail investors.
The early adapters.
And then there had to have been somebody that, a lot of them, there's now a whole world of secret millionaire pedophiles who couldn't figure out how to use Silk Road, who bought Bitcoin. To buy child pornography, then couldn't figure out how to use the Tor browser, and now they've found a thumb drive.
And they all live in Puerto Rico.
They're like, oh. No, literally, they all moved there.
And they're
like,
all in Puerto Rico staring at that frog going, I wish you were a kid.
Yeah, right. They're like, well, I don't want to, they're like, I don't want to pay taxes on this. You know, I just bought this shit years ago. So
I love the idea of being a pedophile. You have the Bitcoin and you can't use the browser. You're just like, and you can't call tech support.
Well, Tor is kind of hard to use.
I imagine.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like, that's the idea that you can't just call someone over and go, hey, there's no geek squad.
Hi, I don't even know. Amazon customer support.
Right.
How are you doing, Mr. Brock? Yeah, I'm good. Listen, I'm a pedophile. And I figured out how to buy the Bitcoin, but how do I use the Tor browser to purchase child pornography?
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Brock. Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry you're having trouble with this, Mr. Brock. We want to thank you again for being an Amazon Prime subscriber. And happy holidays to you. We will look into that. Those guys are the best.
Yeah.
And so I was saying that like somewhat recently, but I remember how mad, and I don't think it's that like xenophobia has went away.
Yeah.
Remember how fucking irrationally mad people were at the Indian like customer service department?
Oh, anybody who doesn't speak English at all.
No.
Like, I get furious.
Well, maybe you're
like,
bad.
Like, no, but because in my mind, I'm going like, why would you? Why would you put this person on the phone? This is the only thing they have to do. It's like a prank.
Well, this is my point.
It is putting them in the line of fire sometimes.
This is my point,
though. But the Indians are very friendly.
The Indians, everyone would get mad at the Indians, but now nobody complains about it now that it's the Filipinos.
Oh, yeah, the Indians are much better.
No, the Indians are much worse.
Wait a minute, than the Filipinos?
Nobody complains about the Filipinos. They're so much better.
Dude, if I call any customer service and they hear an accent, I hang up immediately and I call right back and try to get a white person.
What makes the Filipino, and by the way, this is off YouTube, so go watch Nick's special, but what makes the Filipinos so much better than the Indians?
Literally just calling you Mr. or Mrs. your first name.
Okay.
Because then it makes you feel like Donald Duck or Mickey Mouse, and then, you know, it's like, it's so disarming.
Okay.
You know?
I think the Indians have gotten better.
Yeah.
In the time that they've done this. They were really terrible. Like, they'd be like, hello, my name is Josh. But now they've gotten, I feel like, better, and they're more.
Well, yeah, I feel like they lie about their names a little less.
They have to. They give them fake names.
That's woke culture. That's one of the positive benefits. Indian customer service people no longer have to lie about their names.
Is that true?
Did we start already, by the way?
Yeah, we've been doing this for 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Nick just does real good bits in life.
Yeah, what do you think? We're all enjoying each other's company for no reason.
I thought we were going to...
Talking about Puerto Rico with no ad revenue and no money?
I thought...
Sitting here talking about
Puerto Rico. Would be like, and we're starting.
But we all know, everyone knows who everyone is. We'll introduce everybody.
But we haven't been here before.
Right.
The new studio?
It's in studio in New York, yeah.
It's nice.
It is nice, yeah. It's in a building with other... It's a WeWork, or it was a WeWork, and it's people that rent space... Shady guys and gals.
And they just let you rent it monthly.
They let you, you sign a lease, but the people out there, some of them are working like what's a phone booth.
I know, I saw that. I was saying to him, it's like the old timey reporter.
Yeah, they're in like a phone booth.
They're like, hey.
Yeah, I don't know what's
going
on.
Get this one on the wire, pal.
Right, you know, right. Like, yeah.
Do you imagine just being the guy who's like starting a business and you just
Hitler
rent one
in
of
a
those
landslide.
Booths?
Yeah, it's like a tiny little, I don't know what it is, but there's people out here, they have no, they're not part of, I think, a company. They're just rogue.
Yeah. Well, they're entrepreneurs. They're startup
entrepreneurs.
Guys.
I agree,
they're entrepreneurs, and they're like, dude, you know what? I want to, instead of working from at home, I'm going to go to an office every day.
I work by the Freedom Tower.
Yes. They want to be inspired. I kind of admire it a little bit.
You would. You absolutely would. And I think that some of them are doing good, I guess. But every now and then, you'll see, like, an old woman in one of those weird... things like she's closed off in like that phone booth and it's just piled up with papers and weird like I don't know what the hell she's doing.
I think that's menopause. I think that's
that's change of life.
Yeah, I think that's what happens to every woman.
I helped my buddy start a company years ago. Yeah. It was out of like a WeWork type space, very similar.
Name was Brock Pierce.
Sunshine Suites in the East Village. And the whole company was, this is when social media was just starting. Not just starting, but like MySpace was still around. Facebook was around, obviously. But the whole business plan was we were going to sell social media marketing packages to businesses. We go business to business. It was just like a phone call. We'd be like, yeah, well, you know, we'll run all your social medias. We'll link them all together. We had no idea how to use social media. Like, I didn't even know how to fucking make a Twitter profile at that time.
Right.
And we just fucking called people up and just ripped them off. Mm-hmm. And that was it. And we started a company. And
but did you, when you... Did you try to, once the people trusted you with marketing of their business, did you even try? Because that could have been, by the way, that could have been a great business.
Oh, yeah.
That's basically SEO and like social media consultation. Like
right. That's what Gary Vaynerchuk does.
Yeah.
And that guy's worth a lot of money.
Yeah, but we had no idea. Like, we had no idea what we were doing. We had a guy named Merrick. I remember this fucking intern. We had an unpaid intern from NYU that we made do all of the, like, accounts. Like, it was like this fucking autistic kid with pimples.
Yeah.
He had terrible skin. He had no fucking clue what he was doing, dude. And we just ripped people off for, like, 2 or 3 years.
Interesting.
It was great.
And that was, what was it called again?
ianalyst.com.
Can we go to it?
I might be destroying his company right now.
ianalyst.com. Let's see if it's still around.
Is it still a thing? It must be.
ianalyst.com.
Oh, wow.
We are the 2%. There's a lot of lawsuits coming from this show, huh? We got a lot. We got Brock Pierce, and then we got the people at iAnalyst.
Well, that's kind of
my
why.
My producer's going to be like, we're being sued by 3 different people.
That's why I didn't think we started, because Brock Pierce does threaten people.
Well, I didn't know, but it's content.
Yeah.
I think they figured it out, by the way.
Yeah.
No, it looks great.
Look.
Here's the deal. You came up.
A big part of the marketing was simply showing a graphic with like a little bunch of like stick people.
Yes.
And then with like arrows pointing to your business.
To more stick people.
To more stick people that pointed to YouTube. And that arrow pointed back to your business.
Yes. No. It's the chart was the primary. Yeah.
That was huge.
You started out as an entrepreneur in this selling tickets in Times Square.
Yeah.
And you watched the entire social media thing happened.
Yeah, nobody was using social media. Dane Cook was using social
media. I want to make a documentary, by the way. I very much want to make a documentary about you.
Okay.
And like, because that, starting out as you sold comedy club tickets, and
the main guy was Steve Hofstadter.
I don't know if he would agree to do it, but I'd, of course, rather make a documentary about Steve Hofstetter.
Steve Hofstetter, I feel worse for than any...
Well, he was the original Heckler Guy video. Ironically...
He invented the entire business model now. Yeah, he invented 20 years ago.
It's ironically, he's like the most influential guy in comedy.
Yeah,
right.
Because it all stinks at first. Every trend in comedy sucks before it gets cool. Like, producing your own comedy shows, when I started, was like whack. Like, you were considered a shit comic who had to produce your own shows.
Let's see how many views he... I guess he has a new special. Let's see how many views this has.
235K.
235K. And when did it come out?
A year ago.
Okay.
The most influential man in comedy.
But he invented this. He invented the, like, self-produced...
Self-promotion.
Yes, right.
Hecklers, planning hecklers.
But it was also, like, planning hecklers is just so... There's just, you saw it happen, and we all went, oh, he's planting hecklers. We know how real hecklers are, and there's nobody has 50 fucking hecklers in a row, right?
But remember how, because people used to mock it, they'd be like, comedian destroys hecklers.
Yeah.
And then something changed. I guess it was TikTok, is that the TikTok audience was more amenable to the,
right.
And now, like, you know, I mean, this has got to, it's like, he's got to be going crazy.
Well, he's got 800,000 subscribers on YouTube. He's doing pretty well.
He's doing a lot better than I thought.
Do I remember I did a contest at his club in Queens?
Laughing Devil.
But yeah, it was the...
Laughing Devil Comedy
Club. Laughing Devil Comedy Club.
Yeah.
Right? That was the one in Queens?
Yeah.
The Stand ended up buying it.
The Stand bought it and turned it into the standing room.
He was ahead of the curve in terms of, like, putting out stuff on social media, on sites like YouTube. And... like way before
anybody. He was shameless with it. I remember I did his contest. He was like, it was essentially a bringer contest. You had to like bring friends, but you didn't have to. So you don't have to bring friends, but it'd be good if you did. So I showed up. I didn't bring any friends, and it's like me and five other comics. Like these are like just brand new comics. I'm maybe 3 or 4 years into comedy, and then I won the competition. It was an audience vote, and the other people's friends still voted for me because everyone was so green. And that was to be passed at the club. And then I was like, cool, can I start putting in avails? He was like, you're now on to the next round of the competition. And he wanted me to come in the next week to do another competition. I was like, all right, fuck this.
No, back when MySpace was around, it's funny, MySpace they had a MySpace comedy page.
Yeah.
You could convert your profile to a MySpace comedian page. And it was him and Giannis, too, I feel like, was very big on there.
Yeah, perhaps.
Yeah, those guys, you would see him, they were just friends with everybody.
Right.
And Steve would add anybody with like a comedian page or just like add as many
people. The whole business is full of people who like dip their toe into something and then it was before there was money in it.
Yeah.
Or there was before it was the thing to do.
Well, that's
had they just stayed with it, they would be huge.
But he did stay with it.
Well, yeah, but come on. We mean like for example, Giannis. Had Giannis stayed on YouTube, like then he kind of left that and he started doing like the half hour and all the shit you thought you should do.
Yeah.
But like that's the story of a lot of people in the business that were like, they were there for a minute and then they.
Yeah, it's all peaks and valleys. So you watch all, like Giannis had moments where he was fucking up here and then it goes down. Now he seems to be killing it right now.
Right.
Chris D, dude, you look at Chris D's career, dude.
Yeah.
He was like on Guy Code, Girl Code, like things were fucking looking great. And then he fucking linked up with Giannis and Gas Digital and did it. It was fucking retarded. Why would he do any of that stuff?
Right.
And then he had a little bit of a dip, and now Chris is a fucking celebrity. Like, you know, so.
It is up and down.
That's what I'm telling myself.
No, it is.
I'm trying to convince myself that it's going to go up.
Yeah, we're both down. We're both down right now.
That's not true.
We'll see. We'll see.
You just, Lewis. I've told you the only thing you have to do is fire every person that you see. When you walk into your institution, you have to fire. If it's like a video game, if they're even in your eye line, you have to fire them. Fired. Get out. Fired. Get out.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do. Hire a team of Filipinos.
Maybe. Or Indians.
By the way, why have you not outsourced? This is a great... Why have you not outsourced a lot of the job to Filipinos?
A lot of it's...
To be like,
a lot of it's going to go to AI.
Mr. Amico.
Hello, Mr. Zach.
Hello, Zach.
I have brought you your Wendy's, Mr. Zach.
We have ordered pizza. We have your advertisement for Kratom. Here is your Kratom read. How is the for a second, Nick Mullins' new special is out, by the way. We'll do this in the beginning of the show.
Oh, okay.
We'll put this in the beginning.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Luis Gomez and Nick Mullins are with us. Nick has a new special out on YouTube right now, and Luis has a special out
on actually, YouTube. It'll be on the Adam Friedland Show channel. I think this is defunct. So
Nick Mullins' special is out on the Adam Friedland Show channel.
We're just going to try and consolidate and see if...
Yeah,
anything,
as you should.
As well... Everything. We need something to work.
Right.
And so...
Luis Gomez has a special that's on...
Luis J. Gomez.
Luis J. Gomez has a special. This also holds you back, making people do that. It's just... If I didn't know you, now I hate you.
You do it on purpose.
No, it's just... it's there's no other Luis Gomez, by the way.
There is.
Is there?
I think.
Who?
There must be.
There's the guy from Wednesday who's a genuine
celebrity.
No, that's
Luis Guzman.
Luis Guzman.
People tag me sometimes.
He's a genuine celebrity.
People tag me sometimes thinking they're tagging Luis Guzman.
Yeah, well, he's a legend.
This happened the other day.
Yeah, no, Luis Guzman is a legend.
Oh, look at that.
Luis Gomez is Luis J. Gomez has a special on where? GasDigital.com?
No, no, it's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all on YouTube. All those half hours are on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
But Nick's comedy is on the Adam Friedland
Show. The Adam Friedland Show channel. It's called Year of the Dragon.
Year of the Dragon.
Year of the Dragon. So, you know, I would look, hey, I would love it if you could please like, comment, subscribe, and share. Because this is all just a game, and we're all trying to be Steve Hofstetter.
So even if I don't disagree.
Even
by
if
the
you
way.
Fucking hate it, look, no, I don't. Maybe other people do. I didn't want to do a special, but there's a lot of money.
It's very funny. I've seen it. You should watch it. There's a lot of money.
There's a lot of money to be made right now in stand up. You got to get to the theater level.
You got to get there.
I don't know what
clubs pay a lot of money too.
Here's the other thing too. About a year and a half ago, I had like an 8-pack.
Yeah.
And I will give those pictures if you want to show it to, I don't know, I think you need women to come to shows.
That's a big help.
Yeah.
I'm getting more of them, but it's still not the majority.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Anybody that's doing real well, I feel like they got 50%. They tapped into the girl
market.
They
tap into chicks?
They've tapped into the girl market somehow. And I feel that
women can't hate you.
Look at my fucking wheels turning. I was like, wow, that's the opposite of my strategy.
I would say that they are sort of my, they're not natural enemy, but in the way that you can't have like.
Well, here's the thing.
You can't have two old cats in a small apartment.
The people that are coming to your show, Louis, it's one person buying one ticket. Think about this, right?
No, I know this.
Women travel in packs.
Dude, it's infuriating. Every time I look out in my crowd, because my fans are fucking losers, I look out and it's just a bunch of single...
And thank you, everyone, for being part of our journey.
It's a bunch of single individual dudes that they're wearing big fucking clothes that are too big for them. Mm-hmm. They're all fucking dressed like Big J, and none of them have any fucking friends. And then I look out, I'm like, I'm surprised they even got to 60% capacity. I got to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Right, because it's one person.
We should, with their mother's credit card. We should make those guys buy more than one ticket.
Yes.
Half of them are wearing a fucking like 17 XL Gildan hoodie.
Yeah.
And so they take up the entire table as it is.
This is what happens before Louis. This is about...
Airlines can do it, the comedy clubs can do it.
Before 3 days before Lewis's show, this is what happens in any house. Someone, the basement door opens, and a guy goes, "I'll give you the cash." Yeah. No, they only take cards. I'll give you the cash. It's not a racist show. It's not going to inspire me to do anything bad. Mm. It's comedy.
I say it to my crowd all the time. I was like, just get friends, please. Right. I can start selling shows out if you just have a friend.
Mm. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, women... Travel in packs.
Yeah.
Women talk to other women about
this
stuff.
What do I have to do? Do I have to watch The Bachelor?
Yeah, it's a whole, Nick, it's a whole thing. It's not just abs. You know what it is. You have to relate to
it. No, it's not even abs.
It's not. It's like you have to like be cute.
You got to watch like Selling Sunset, those types of shows.
Yeah, being in shape has never done anything.
I'm talking about Selling Sunset, but I relate it to Israel and Hamas. Now, that's not, that doesn't help. Because I said the hottest real estate show right now is the Hamas war.
Right.
Yeah. It's even hotter than Selling Sunset. That's a brilliant take. Are women appreciating that? I don't think so.
Yeah. I have a Hezbollah t-shirt I got, and you have no idea how hard it was to find that.
Oh, it's so hard.
Yeah.
Now, but some women like my show, and some women like... You know what we all do, and they're coming. There's more of them coming now than there have ever been before.
But you know that they're fucked up. They're damaged. The girls that are coming out to our
show. How about this? Maybe it's not that they're damaged. Maybe they have kind of a little bit of the neural pathways of a male. mm-hmm. that maybe they're successful, like in that they're, you know.
You think that? Because I've seen some of the gals at my shows, and that's not what I think when I see them.
Well, I will say that it runs a gamut.
I'm surprised at the amount of people that come to my shows that are soft-spoken Hispanic guys.
Yes.
They're like, yeah, I've been listening for like years.
Well, you know what it is?
Yeah, you know, like me and my friends, we've been since like high school.
Right, because they don't have a culture that's available to them.
Yes, they do. It's the audio installation section at Best Buy.
Right, sure. But you come in and you fill that in.
It's PlayStation 5.
It's interesting because some comics we know, it's really racial. Uh-huh. Some comics are supported by their people.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm not supported by gay people, and you're not really supported by Puerto Ricans, which is what I like.
I trick them. I trick them, though, because Latinos,
You trick the Latinos?
Look, edit this part out. Latinos are stupid, okay? They're easily
tricked.
We're
not editing that out.
They're easily tricked.
To my audience, I will say, yeah. I will not stand for this. Yeah. I'm not going to sit here while this monster spews this hate speech.
Yeah. You know, I get when you, like, Latinos and blacks, like, if, just in the wild, like, in the clubs.
Come watch our specials.
Yeah, they're on YouTube, and...
But I'm saying they love me in the wild. They won't love, if they believe the hoopla and the hype, they're not going to be into what I do. But if I just happen upon a black family in a comedy club, they're going to love what I do.
Now, let me just rewind this.
Yeah.
If you happen upon
just Will Smith
a black
and his,
family in a comedy
Will Smith
club,
and his son, Will Smith's there, yeah, looking for a job.
Full black family in the comedy club.
It happens.
They're going to love what you do.
They're going to love what I do. Because they got real problems, dude. They're not going to be offended by all these no-no words,
you.
Dude. They're fucking.
You.
This guy's fucking.
But by the way, can we market your next tour like that? Black families have real problems. Yeah. Come see Luis Gomez.
I'll say this.
Come see me.
I don't think my stand-up's offensive. I think it's pretty, like...
It's not that any of us are offensive. We're not talking to women.
No, the shit I would do on Cumtown is offensive, but that's...
Perhaps.
But I always felt that was more of a... born out of a disdain for comedy itself. So it's like, what if I said this?
Right.
Not that I am saying this.
Right.
But it's like, what if I, how lazy would it, how funny would it be to lazily say this? That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make a ton, but yeah. That's the Brock Pierce pedophilia thing. It's more like, what if I was?
Yeah, right.
But
no, I get what you're saying. You're almost like, in a podcast, sometimes you just say the fucking lowest hanging fruit because you're like, well, I shouldn't say the lowest hanging fruit.
Dating is where it's at. If you're a lot of women, most women that go out want to hear about the mating ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to talk about that, that is going to excite them. This is from my very cursory study of this. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't discuss it. I also am a gay guy. I cannot discuss men and women and what they do.
Would you start sleeping with women so that you could have
I went a woman route, it would be, and it could be very successful. It would be kind of a CBS, like, you know, it's me and my wife, and there's a Mexican family, and we're on a border, and they move next door, and I'm like rough around the edges. It's not a bad idea. It's like, you know.
If you could do like a Chuck Lorre thing where you used to be gay, and now you're straight.
Well, that could be the sitcom on CBS in like 5 years.
That would be amazing.
I'm an ex-gay guard at the border.
Yeah.
You know, and then my wife is always trying to get me to like see them as people.
Yeah.
And I see some of them as people, but I struggle with it.
Yeah.
But there's a great scene where they make me Mexican food and we all.
Did I ever tell you about, I was on the border one time and I saw a border patrol guy wearing a kilt. They allowed they let him do that. He had the rest of his uniform on, but he had a kilt on underneath.
That's amazing.
It's so insulting.
They're clearly not taking it seriously. This is the problem.
Can you imagine
the Border Patrol is just theater kids?
Yeah. It wasn't like a bunch of them. It was one guy
right there.
It was at McDonald's. Yeah, U.S. law enforcement in kilts.
They're allowed to do that. They could just choose that?
I guess.
What is the next iteration of what do you think goes on here? Because you're a mind. You're in the game. You're seeing, right now, you're seeing a lot of crowd work. Like, I just did a crowd work clip in San Diego.
Mm.
Gets 5 million views.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. People love that interaction.
I honestly have no, I don't give a shit. I did the special because you're supposed to. Hopefully people like it.
People are going to love it.
Hopefully that the second that stand-up doesn't make sense money-wise anymore, I'm done.
Of course.
I'm done.
I believe many of us feel that way.
And then I'll go back to...
It makes no sense money-wise for me.
You're talking to two people who agree with you.
It's just a hobby. Yeah. What are you talking about?
It's crazy, too, because like everybody that's like quote-unquote blowing
I'll
up.
Give you the cash. I get paid Friday. The show is Friday. Yeah. That's why I can't give you the money now. Yeah. I would have been paid last week, but I missed a day because I was sick.
I would have made more money helping put this set together than I make doing stand-up.
But that's also because you're like touring in Europe. You go to like London and Europe.
Yeah, but these are like little clubs. These aren't.
No, I know, but you're spending a lot of money to get to the place.
Oh yeah, that's a terrible idea.
But even
crazy. I see what you're doing.
It was me, Dave Smith, Zach, and Robbie Burns. We brought four people.
You bring a whole crew to like Lima, Peru. Like, whose idea is it? What agent is co-signing this?
I'm gonna kill myself.
Do you think the crowd work stuff holds on? Do you think these clips, do you think we live in this world forever?
No, I think it's a fad to a certain degree. I think, honestly, stand-up is really hot right now, and all the podcasters are touring right now and doing stand-up, and that's going to cool off for a minute.
People discount like how much of this is also just like the pandemic prevented people from going out and doing anything.
Now people are out.
Yeah, people
and
came
then,
back.
And then you get a bump off TikTok, which TikTok's going to be illegal in 3 months. Once
you think they're shutting it down? I think they are.
Yeah,
I've
always
said
that. Now that TikTok's gone after Israel, I mean,
yeah.
You could do anything you want, but you could be on TikTok.
You could throw as many paraplegic people in front of the train as you want.
That's all fine. You could have a TikTok. Honestly, the Osama bin Laden, that was the funniest thing.
Hilarious.
The people are like, oh, everybody on TikTok saying Osama bin Laden's good now. And it's like two videos.
Yeah. It wasn't even a huge thing.
It was not. It was two videos. It was, it was one, honestly, a very funny video of like, you know, some black lady being like, girl, have you read this letter?
He was right.
Oh my God. Did you
he
know
made
about
some points?
Girl, do you know about the Mujahideen? What is that, girl?
Damn.
Yeah. The Mujahideen, what?
They've been talking about getting rid of it for a long time. They've been talking about
it. Get rid of it. Get rid of all social
media. By the way,
all of it.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of agreeing, not in the sense that I care about the Bin Laden letter, but I say get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it.
We were happier before we had social media.
Get rid of all of it.
No, we weren't happier.
I don't know if we were.
I'm the exact. I think.
Well, some people were happy.
I think everyone was happier.
A lot of people might have been happy.
I think everyone did.
But here's the deal:
in general, the anxiety that people have.
No, you were 20 years old. You weren't happy.
Our entire career.
We're happier because of social media.
Our entire career is this.
Yeah.
You cannot roll it back. I'm just saying ban TikToks. I don't have followers.
Me personally, I would.
That's my only. I'm saying let's reset because people have really blown past me on this thing. I didn't know what was going on. Let's reset now. Mm-hmm. And let's reset. I'm just saying reset.
So you just wipe clean slate, keep TikTok, but dump everybody has to start at zero.
And we all start over now.
And delete, and you get a 6 month head start.
Well, it's not the worst idea. Yeah. But no, I think we delete TikTok and go, this one's no good because it's the Chinese or whatever it's trying to kill. Whatever.
We should do whatever Israel's
version.
Whatever
we're going to say, because I have like no, I've got what, 60,000 followers?
Yeah, 60.
Let's delete now. This is about, I haven't tried, but this is embarrassing. Now let's delete this because of the Hamas and the Chinese.
Yeah.
It's just like.
Which one are you the best at then, YouTube?
Hamas?
No. Social media.
I don't know. Podcasting, but it's not social media. Instagram's the one that I think is
podcasting
the best.
Podcasting is social media.
So then that one. Yeah, that's the one I'm good at.
Okay. Yeah.
And Instagram I'm okay at because I know how to do the swipe up.
Mm-hmm. I wish.
I'm 38. You got to realize we're all getting old.
Yeah. I'm old. We're old.
We're old. So
I'm 41 years old.
The reality is these things don't make as much sense. Like I don't. And I think it shouldn't. Mm. They don't make as much sense to me as they did back in, you know.
Well, it got weird and almost like abstract for a minute. Remember there was like that that 8 second one where you can only do like 8 second videos. That was like a
Vine.
That was there was no use for it. There was no purpose. It was
people
just,
became stars on that. And it shut down. And some of them committed suicide.
They disappeared.
Not genuinely. Well, they all disappeared.
They killed themselves
on a loop.
We know people. That were like, that was their whole career.
Yeah.
And then they just, I mean, gone.
Sometimes, like,
but that's show business.
That's right.
That show business has always been that.
That's true.
It's like literally, you get your 15 minutes of fame, and then you get, you know, sexually molested by a producer, and then it ends, and then the government comes and says, "Oh, that $20 million you made, we're taking 13 of it." And then you get behind on your mortgage. The bank takes that back, and now you're just a guy that was molested,
right?
And then you kill yourself, and that's that's what being a comedian has always been.
That's what it should have been. That was the goal.
And that's when it was actually good.
That's when. Remember when the goal was to simply just be alone on the road making $1,500 a weekend?
Yeah,
that was it.
Yeah,
that was the top of the mountain.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, no, this didn't exist. I remember thinking. I remember when I started comedy, being like, "Oh, dude, if I could just do the,
if I could just get molested.
The funny bones.
Yeah,
if I could make $50,000 a year doing like D-level.
Well, the first thing you do is take a mega bus to like an Albany Funny Bone, and you stay overnight in like a dump, and you feel great.
Yeah.
You feel amazing. It's actually the best feeling ever.
The first time I
stayed
in a Red Roof Inn, actually, dude, I think you were you with me? Did you do that strip club?
Yeah, was that the first time?
Dude, I think that was the first time I stayed at a Red Roof Inn.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember
you almost got into a fight with the Indian guy behind the counter.
What happened? Did they not have your suite?
I don't know. He's like,
Lewis is like, I pre-reserved a suite.
Literally, yes. They were like, yeah, we don't have your reservation. They didn't have, there was exposed fucking like insulation.
There was asbestos. Right. Like, yeah, no. Get down from the ceiling.
It was like, pardon our fucking appearance.
And that sign was falling apart.
Yeah, no, the place was a mess. They had you know, and you go to like a real shitty motel and they have prices for all the things you can steal.
That's right.
It had on there, it was like the microwave, like picture frames, $125, because people are just stealing everything.
No, they're just warning you.
Yeah, right.
Don't fuck around here.
Yeah, don't steal the fucking microwave.
It just smelled like mold the whole hallway, dude.
Yeah.
And yeah, we fucking
shower curtain. You can take it home.
What year was this?
This is 6-7 years ago, at least.
No, it was like 2014.
Isn't it good that all of our friends have done well?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
Depends on how you define well.
Yeah.
And friends.
We're doing
all of our, because some of our friends haven't, but everybody that we know is not doing that.
Varying degrees of.
Is not doing the Red Roof Inn.
Better than I thought it was going to be.
Come on.
That's not true. Some people are not doing well. There are our friends.
I'm very happy I have hair, and so many of my friends have hair, and a lot of them don't have hair, but they wish they did have hair. Some of them do. And I tell them about Keeps, because Keeps is about keeping the hair that you have right now. You get expert care for hair loss from the comfort of your home without ever visiting a doctor's office. All the treatment plans are personalized to address your unique needs. If you are losing your hair and you want to stop it dead in its tracks, Keeps is an online subscription service that makes it easy and more affordable for men to treat their male pattern baldness from the comfort of their own home. With Keeps, get clinically proven treatments to address hair loss and boost hair regrowth delivered right to your door in discreet packaging. Complete an online consultation to get matched with a treatment plan tailored to address your hair loss concerns. Find a plan that works for your schedule with the flexibility of 3, 6, and 12-month delivery options. Plus, you can adjust, pause, or cancel at any time. It's easy. They've got over 4,500 five-star reviews with impressive before and after photos from real customers. They deliver treatments directly to your door. It's discreet. It's non-branded packaging. You'll love it. So, hair loss stops with Keeps. For a special offer to get started, go to keeps.com/Tim Dillon or click the link in the description. That's KEEPS.com/TIMDILLON. KEEPS.com/TIMDILLON. Yes, but
Tim dumps those people. He doesn't consider those people friends anymore.
I mean, no, it's not that they're not my friends, but it's just like, you know, what do you want? It's like, what do you want?
What do you talk to somebody about?
What do you do for those people?
You really can't. That's
you
the
can't
thing
do
that's
anything.
Like, that's what I mean.
I love those people, but what are you gonna? What are you gonna do?
There's not any kind of. There's not like it's. There is some. You can after the fact take a look at success and say these are the factors that led.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you can like just isolate those things and then
doing horribly.
Yeah.
I would say that many of them are doing better than they were.
I don't know. There's people.
I'm
not going to name names, but there's comics that are extremely funny.
Yeah.
And that
who haven't caught on.
Yeah, but they have exposure. People know who they are, and they're good, and like they should be doing better than they are.
Yeah,
and for whatever reason, it just doesn't like it's like watching like a airplane try to start. Like bah, 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 bah.
Yeah, you know what I will say that I really appreciate about you, Shane. Like, from an outside perspective, it's from a brown person's perspective.
Oh, we're going to do that now?
Brown person's perspective.
Okay. Faggot listening.
I like the fact that people can no longer say that they're not succeeding because they're white guys. That was a thing for a few years where we're like, well, dude, I'm a white guy. We're just not getting booked. And it's like, that's just not the case
it's
anymore.
Not true.
They love white guys again. White guys are back in a massive way in the industry. Tom Segura, Burt, fucking Matt Rife.
I think when the white guy thing was happening, that was more like people. I heard that more with guys going like, I can't get a writing job. And that was true.
Yeah.
Because their agents were telling them, we need to staff this.
But
with-
it's funny because it also like it fucked over the people that, I don't know, they were trying to. I didn't feel that. And then I don't think like Kurt did either, because they would staff a room and then they would have.
This is kefir, by the way. It's not a glass of milk. Keep going.
I feel like it's rude to say diversity hires or whatever, but you would have a diverse writer's room. But then they would hire a white guy, and the white guy they would hire would always be like a white guy with darker sensibilities that would say stuff that would be perceived as offensive, because that in and of itself is a type of diversity. Who wouldn't get hired is the white guys that are like, guys, can we just be a little nicer to women, please?
Right.
You know, those guys wouldn't get hired.
Right.
Because it's like, well.
The guys who secretly wanted to rape everyone in the room wouldn't get hired.
I mean, that's probably the reason.
Yeah,
I don't know,
can we just be a little kinder to these ladies?
Yeah, yeah.
And do you need a ride home?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a rapist.
Yeah.
Yeah, the UCB cat sweater.
Yeah.
Aggressive messenger.
I would love to do a little, like, movie. About a character, I have a character in my head that is one of those guys, because that was such an annoying type of guy 10 years ago.
Yeah, so
but they were everywhere.
Ultra feminist, cat sweater wearing rapist.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and they always had a name like Brandon Scott Eric.
We had one of those. You know,
it was always
about,
they always had a name.
Yeah,
was,
it was always three names.
Four first names.
Yeah, it was. Yes.
Yeah, I'm David Brandon Scott.
One of the one of the shortest and most ill-fated podcasts of the boom. Was not Bastard Radio. It was a podcast called Rape Dicks.
Rape Dicks.
Mm-hmm. It's called Rape Dicks, where Luis Gomez, myself, and I believe Karen Feehan.
Maybe.
Were investigating open mic rape claims.
Comedy rapes.
Comedy rapes. And employing our knowledge of the, you know, and by the way, the most famous rape, probably, or one of them, but probably the most famous rape. We investigated it, and it got weird. It actually got cool.
Mm-hmm.
It was hilarious. It was
We found some very interesting things happening, and it didn't add up. Remember that? Remember how exciting it was?
Well, it was the girl rape, right?
No, that was one of the other episodes.
That was where we actually had her on.
That was hilarious. And she said, that Casey Anthony thing is still my favorite moment of podcast.
The highlight of that whole era.
It was Aaron, you know his name.
Yeah. But the highlight of all of the Me Toos in New York comedy was when Ray Kump and...
Margo Reese.
Yeah, Margo Reese and Ray Kump were canceling each other.
Yeah.
I don't remember
like, I don't know, like fucking...
I think
Mark touched Ray's tit and then... Ray grabbed Mark's penis, and then they had like a 2-day battle on Facebook where Ray's like, "Well, you touched my breasts first.
You attacked me first. I was defending
myself. You touched my breasts first."
And then Margo, I think, Mark started to lose, so he transitioned.
Was it that one of those? Oh,
yeah. Perhaps. Yeah. I don't know.
But there was another one of those. And that,
I think that's what happens. I think you get in an argument at a bank and you start to lose. You go, I'm a woman now.
That put an end to it. There was no more. It was that one and the other one where, and this was the funniest one, because I remember this was back when I was on Facebook. I like woke up, I go onto Facebook, and I wasn't really checked into, I really kind of only ever hung out at the stand. So I was never really fully integrated in the New York stand-up scene. And
that's why I saw you.
I see on Facebook that someone's saying, just to let everyone know, Mo Faffelbab is a rapist.
Yes.
And I was I remember this.
He ran that very woke Brooklyn comedy.
Faffelbab.
Well, I was like, very woke comedy.
I was like, there's no way that that's a name.
What was it called, that thing he ran?
Sesame Street.
Yeah. It was like the fucking, was it the Annoyance Theater? No,
yeah,
it was like, it was something where it was like the Brooklyn Comedy Collective. It was like, come to the comedy commune or whatever.
Yeah.
And then
that also turned into, then the story came out and he was like, no, I blacked out and you raped me. And then it was him and this woman arguing about who raped who. And it turned the whole thing into like a laughing stock. And then nobody was
canceling. Well, we found some weird shit with the Glazer thing, where we found some stuff where it was remember we found that non-binary person?
Yeah, dude.
In the mix, and it was like these two women, and we interviewed his roommate.
I completely forgot about that entire thing.
It was actually amazing.
It was really great. I don't even know where you find that podcast.
I don't either.
Is it a real ass podcast? Is it on that feed?
It had to be.
Doggy, that shit was fucking wild. And then the reason we stopped was because it actually got dark.
It got dark.
We actually started uncovering shit where it was like, we're talking
like...
Can you
tell me what happened?
So here's the thing.
I feel left out. There's a big rape story. And
this he was not a successful comic, but he was completely thrown out of the scene because of a claim. Two women claimed that he...
Drugged
and raped them. And me and Lewis wanted to know more. So we interviewed his roommate. Now, his roommate said...
Also, too, that whole thing blew up because when it initially happened, when the firestorm initially started, there was people saying, oh, this guy's a rapist. And it was based on a screen cap of an anonymous message from somebody who works at UCB who said that somebody else said this guy was a rapist.
Right.
So it was like...
And that's when Metzger got involved, and he was right to say we can't.
I was like, look, you can't fucking destroy a guy. But then once we started...
But there was not even details. It was just that he's a rapist.
As soon as we spoke to two people that knew him, we were like, this is a dark individual.
Yeah, we're like, he's a dark individual. But also, I think it was one of those situations where I think everybody was... lying.
Yeah.
Because that's what you realize when you get to the depths of these, everybody's lying. And then you start going, oh, he is a rapist, but he might not have raped those people when they said he did.
Yeah.
Because the roommate's telling us the time the girl saying it happened, he never brought one girl home ever.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the hell.
But then the roommate was like, but no, this guy rapes.
But then the roommate's like, but he's also a rapist. But it was literally
he just
crazy.
Didn't rape those girls.
She was like, so he's innocent. She goes, no, he's a rapist. I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on. It got so complex. We were on phones in a bar eating and like doing actual research.
And this is before, what's that podcast that got
huge? Didn't we call him?
Yeah, we did.
We called him.
What was the podcast that got huge with Adnan Syed?
Serial. This is the original one.
This is
literally the original serial. And we called him and we're like, we're investigating your rape claim. And he goes, who is this? And we went, it's Luis Gomez. He thought it was a cop.
Yeah.
I said, it's Luis Gomez and Tim Dillon. And we're investigating your rape. And he's like, okay.
Ah, shit. The Me Too movement was so huge for a fucking hot minute. And rape didn't stop. Or maybe it worked. Maybe people stopped raping. But I just think it, like anything else, was a fucking fad. It's crowd work videos.
They shut it down after the Tara Reid thing. That's where it ended.
What?
Like global. Tara Reid made claims against Joe Biden, and then they had to write articles. There was articles.
Wait, Tara Reid, the...
No, different Tara Reid.
Okay.
She was a staffer. She was a staffer in the 90s. She made claims against him, and then she ended up like defecting to Russia. And so now people...
Right, because she was saying he... Okay, now I remember.
Yeah,
this.
So there was rape claims. But then when that happened, this came
Reid
up...
Reid worked for Biden as a congressional aide in 92 and 93 and later attended Antioch University. She later... Da-da-da-da-da. Reid misrepresented herself and her life experience on numerous occasions. Okay. So this is all just... Nothing ever happened.
When this happened, then there had to be articles that were like, believe all women doesn't actually mean believe all women.
Yeah. That's the thing. Once someone comes out... and goes at one of the sacred cows, they go, oh, actually, we didn't mean believe all women.
Yeah.
Also, believe all women is the craziest thing in the fucking world.
It's crazy.
It's psychotic. The craziest person we all know is a woman. Guarantee. If you think about the craziest person you've ever met in your entire life, it's a fucking female guarantee.
I mean, also, the point, the substance of the believe all women doesn't mean, like, you know, they're incapable of lying in the same way that Black Lives Matter doesn't mean that, like, white lives don't matter. You know, it's like, it's not that, it's mainly directed at the people who are supposed to investigate these things, like the police, for example.
Is it, though? Because I don't think so, because you'll see it, it's still to this day.
It might have started as that, Nick, but it really became more of a cultural thing.
Yeah. On social media.
Media became life for everybody.
Well, this proves that the level of nuance
Believe all women did mean for a while there that if a woman claims to have been assaulted. Yeah. She's not lying.
But this proves.
I mean, that was the.
This yeah. proves that it never meant that. Because
sure, I don't believe because, it ever
because,
meant that.
Because the people that were the most diehard supporters of it, like, obviously held that nuance in their heads because something like this comes up and they're like, well, you know right. what I mean.
Of course.
They have, right. no, they have no problem with the collateral damage when it's happening to their enemies.
Oh, I mean,
but
not
also,
at all.
I mean, I, you know, I don't know. Are people really investigating this? No. You get the same people on the
Nobody's
other side.
Nobody's investigating
right.
this.
You get happy. You're like, oh, yeah, no, he did it, no matter what, because fuck right. Joe Biden.
Right.
Which yeah, I'm but on that's, board with.
On
but
social media,
care.
What it sort of became was like, you know, somebody would claim something. Like a girl, I just saw this happen recently. Another comic got accused of some shit. Some girl posts something very vague, the thing that she posts. And people are just responding to it. Hashtag believe all women. I believe you. I'm so sorry this happened to you. You're like... Like just right. just a blind like a blind accusation, you can just do that, and just randomly people will just blindly follow it. That's kind of crazy.
Mm. I just love the idea of like,
it was me, guys. No, I'm being, just, I'm being like, taken down.
The people are represented by two equally important groups: Luis Gomez and Tim Dillon, rape dicks, and we just have to go back.
I'll bring it back right now, Tim.
And just it, because here's the thing. There are answers to all of these open mic comedy rapes mm-hmm. if you look hard enough.
I know. I think the answer is that it's not any more prevalent in comedy than it is
anywhere else.
This building, the people who work here, they deal with sexual assault. And
I've
they
been
deal
raped
with,
three times.
You loved it.
I walk it off. Who cares? Not a big deal.
Tim walks in the elevator backwards.
I try to get raped.
Yeah. I had my anus and genitals removed after seeing the Barbie movie. It's not really something I have to worry yeah. about.
That makes a lot of sense. Uh-huh. I had Caitlyn Jenner came to my Friendsgiving in Los Angeles.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great. Damn. You told me you were going to try to get her to come to Skankfest. That never happened.
She wasn't into it.
Did you really try?
I tried.
You said, dude, I want to bring... Tim called me up. He's like, dude, I want to break the internet.
That's an insane
like, I'm
going to
bring Caitlyn Jenner.
It's you, Caitlyn Jenner.
Gary Weiss.
Kim Jong-il.
Kim Jong-il. Yeah. Eli Roth. Bobby Lee.
Yeah, Kim Jong-il.
Santino. Yeah, it was just some. It was wacky. Just a bunch of L.A. idiots. When are you coming out there?
I don't know. Yeah, I gotta figure out a date. Figure it out. Introduce me to fucking Caitlyn Jenner. Dude, just hang out. Oh, me, oh, you, gosh. And Caitlyn Jenner going out one night would be hilarious.
It'd be amazing.
It'd be the best. She'd love me.
What does she would do? Love you. What does she do now? You don't hear her. She was going off for a while.
She flies a plane.
Like a personal...
She has a little plane that she flies in Malibu and enjoys.
That's, I don't understand why you would do that.
Well, people like people are aviators. What do you want me to tell you?
I don't know. It's like begging to get killed by the CIA.
I agree. I would not be in a plane like that, but this is what the woman wants to do.
Yeah.
The very natural woman, what she wants to do, who's 6'5".
Hey, Tim, get on my plane.
She walked in and she goes, I taught all my kids to be punctual. I was like, you're very on time. She goes, I taught all my kids to be punctual. I'm like, what a dad thing to say. I was like, what a dad. Like, I was like, what a.
Stand up straight.
Stand up straight.
Eat your vegetables.
But she was talking about how nobody's patriotic. I just talked about it on Matt and Shane. It was a great, you know, I'm a big fan of her, and I like what she does. I think that's the next step in the evolution of trans people. Trans Republicans.
Yeah. Mm.
That's, you need it. You need it. That's when you know you have full equality. When the kids on Twitter are going, fuck her, she's a Nazi. Yeah. But with the right pronoun. She's a Nazi. Yeah, she's right. Here we go. So disappointing. Another biological male stealing podium slots, medals, and financial opportunities from women in sports. This madness must end.
So she's against transitioning. Well, listen, male to female transitioning.
She's
in sports.
Interesting because nobody knows more about athletics than that woman.
Yeah, and transitioning. I mean, and transitioning. She is the authority on this subject.
She's the authority on this subject. We should listen to no one but her. We should listen to no one but her. She's a gold medalist. He was a gold medalist, and then she became an expert on being a trans person. Why should anyone else matter in this discussion? And I love that she's never cited.
That's also one of these crazy arguments that people have. Like, we all logically go like, oh, well, obviously, you know, a biological
advantage.
Obvious. It's just so obvious. Everyone agrees. If you put everyone in the world into a fucking lie detector test, they'd all go like, all right, we all agree with that. But
it's 10%. It's extremists who are nuts. And then their supporters aren't even real.
But it's like, it's almost like the left's version of like gun nuts.
where you're like people that really want their guns are like, no, dude, no regulations. We don't give a shit. We want fucking nothing. The more guns, the better.
Right.
You're like, well, no, that's crazy, right? We agree that some people shouldn't have guns.
Right. You'd think.
Right.
You would think. You know? I don't know. I agree with you. I don't think everyone should have a gun. Some people should. Some people shouldn't. Caitlyn Jenner should.
Yeah. She should also be the head of the tobacco firearms.
All the sports that, like women's sports that there's been like any controversy are all sports that, like, who cares?
Well, because it's the women.
It's like, oh, shot put.
This is why we don't get them in our shows.
The poor women shot putters.
Well, I agree with you, but it's the women that are trying to get a scholarship to college with swimming or something.
And it's also, they started this journey fucking 13 years ago before this was even a thing.
But here's the deal.
And
it is going to be funny.
They invested their time in becoming a high-level athlete.
And that now it's being taken.
College should be free anyway, so there's the
Well, yeah, but it's not. So it's we could say it should be.
Maybe you make it, you maybe
but
you
even if college is free, let's
it,
say you want to be an Olympian. If you want to be an Olympian in a female thing, you're going to be defeated by just biological
but
men.
But what we would want is to, that one makes the least sense to me.
How?
Because we're competing against other countries.
That are going to have biological men doing it too.
Well, no.
Of course they will.
We try to find the most. We'll force.
We have all trainings.
We'll force, yes. Then,
yes,
exactly.
Okay, I see. Well, that's a strategy.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I mean, if we have an all tranny female team.
Yeah.
And we're destroying everybody.
Even ones where it doesn't matter, like darts.
No, it's just all trannies.
Yeah, marksmanship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An all tranny American Olympics isn't the worst idea.
Also, technically, men shouldn't have the advantage in a game like darts. But I don't know. I don't know the world dart record, but I guarantee you the best dart player in the world is a guy.
Yeah, I love watching.
Oh,
because
watching he's not those. Thinking about the Eras Tour. I mean, of course. He has the mental capacity to handle just the board and the thing. Yeah, he's not like, my sister got fourth row. How did she get fourth row? Her husband's gay.
Tim, could you get me tickets to Taylor Swift for my niece?
Should we, by the way, all three of us, should we? Because I know, I'm going to guess, I'm safe for a fact that none of us have seen that show.
No.
Right. Should we all just go to the Eras Tour?
Let's go.
Because it's the one cultural thing that we haven't experienced. Well, there's many of them, but that's the one glaring.
I think she's mad at the Adam Friedland show.
So oh, right, because of the Matty Healy thing.
Yeah.
I get it. Well, I believe, I've said she's a mediocre talent, but she probably doesn't know.
Yeah.
I don't think it's her birthday next week, too.
Ugh, great.
Happy birthday, Taylor.
Good for her.
Do you hate her?
I don't hate her. I just feel like it's lost on me.
She's America's sweetheart. She's the girl you want.
I never
wanted
my entertainers to be sweethearts.
Right.
That was never something I wanted. But I get it. I don't begrudge her an ounce of her success.
Yeah.
I just personally that and you just kind of nailed it. That is lost on me. Like Kelly Ripa was always lost on me. Kelly Ripa was always this person.
Mario Lopez.
All of that stuff.
Yeah.
All of these people who
Mario,
are like,
Mario
hey!
Lopez. Mario Lopez isn't a thing people like, though.
No,
it's not that there's nobody.
It's a genre of
there's
human.
Nobody's a Mario Lopez fan, but everybody in America welcomes Mario Lopez into their home.
He could be on the Today Show.
He could be on a cooking show.
Because you have
channel.
No option.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's just
But I never understood why, like, that. Like Kathy Lee, I liked when she was with Regis because she was a drunk. Her husband was cheating on her.
Regis hated her. Regis would scowl at her.
He actually liked her. He actually hated Kelly because Kelly was a demon from hell.
Yeah.
Who is? But Kelly was like, I'm the nice mom, but everyone, she's a demon. Yeah. So it's weird. I just get very suspect of people whose whole sales pitch is like, I'm nice and I love everyone.
Right.
I love everyone, and everyone loves me.
And you find out they're monsters.
Those are the most like sinister people.
It's like Ellen, right? That's what happened with her.
Oh yeah,
she's like America's
CIA.
No one's like that. Most people are just sort of grouchy most of the time.
Well, that's what I trust. No one's like the way that these people are like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like Taylor Swift. I'm going to give you a perfect example. A girl died at her concert in Brazil because it was hot.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, it was heat stroke. And Taylor Swift put out a thing, which I get why you do this, but put out a thing. Get the statement up, Taylor Swift, about the...
I'm sorry my show was too spicy for you.
She was basically... I can't believe I'm writing these words, but it is with a shattered heart. Listen to this. I can't believe I'm writing these words, but it is with a shattered heart that I say we lost a fan earlier, and then she said something like, I don't know much about her, but I knew she was beautiful. It is with a shattered heart.
Shattered heart.
I just, there's something about it to me that just, it is, something doesn't.
Yeah. Well, her heart was shattered because she got cheated on right before.
Right. It doesn't pass the smell test for me. I don't know why. I can't articulate why. Something I feel just doesn't, it's, I don't know.
It's because she's like describing a real emotion in the fakest way possible.
Right.
It's hypocrisy. It's everything.
Is your heart shattered?
It's everything that sucks about celebrity, right?
Here's what Taylor Swift should have said. People die in this country all the time.
Did she handwrite this?
What is this?
This is the statement that she posted on like her story.
This is the statement. Let's read the whole statement because it's insane.
She's like, I try.
I'm writing these words, but it is with a shattered heart that I say we lost a fan earlier tonight before my show. I can't even tell you how devastated I am by this. There's very little information I have other than the fact that she was so incredibly beautiful and far too young. I'm not going to be able to speak about this from stage because I feel overwhelmed by grief when I even try to talk about it. I want to say now I feel this loss deeply, and my broken heart goes out to her family and friends. This is the last thing I ever thought would happen when we decided to bring this tour to Brazil.
Also, why is this in a handwritten font?
Do you understand something's wrong here?
Well, this is a typed message that's been put into a handwritten
but
font.
But is that her actual...
handwriting? No.
I'm saying, is this her actual thing or did somebody else make this image? You know what I'm saying? Like a fan could have made this and put it on a website.
This is her thing.
Oh, it is?
From her story, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is a handwritten font. That's psychotic.
Something is odd about, I'm just saying.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because
something's odd.
No, there was that other concert with, what's his name? Travis.
Travis Scott. He didn't say shit.
Well, I know.
He didn't care.
Well, people got mad at him.
And that was good.
People got mad at him for that. So now if somebody.
It was in Houston the same weekend as Skankfest.
People shot into his concert and he's like, the show must go on. He showed up the next week to like Jersey, like, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you remember that back in the day, the Great White Concert where their pyrotechnics lit the place on fire?
That video is crazy. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's wild. No, I watched a documentary on it. The whole thing is nuts.
In, what was it, Connecticut?
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island, yeah.
Warwick, Rhode Island.
Yeah, Great White. They played a show and they had pyrotechnics behind the stage. And
They didn't get approved for pyrotechnics.
Right.
So they had like a pyro, like they're trying to relive like their glory days from the 80s.
It's like a little
club like the size of the Irving Plaza.
The whole building was a tinderbox, but they only had like one point of egress and it was behind the merch table.
Right.
So fucking 100 people got trapped in this building and there was a guy recording the show. And he got out first, and he just kept recording as people were burning to death inside the building, and you can hear them screaming the whole time.
Well, a lot of people died of smoke inhalation and being trampled too, Nick. Don't be so morbid.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah, smoke inhalation.
I'm just saying, I want to see a little toughness from Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see a little life's not fair from her.
Yeah.
I want to see a little this is why every moment matters.
Yeah.
I didn't get any of that from
them. You were trampled to death? Now you know how it feels to be famous every single
that's
day.
Right. But see, that's
every
right.
single day.
She goes, do you know
how... you were burnt alive? You know what it's like to have the burning drive to be a celebrity.
She goes, sometimes I want to go and die at a concert, but I can't. You know what I do? I get on stage while other people die. I get on stage and I perform. Not always because I want to, because I have to. That's something that I want to see more of from her. It's just never done it for me, but I still think we should go see the show.
I would go.
There's something too basic about. Also, there's nostalgia.
You know what would be?
This nostalgia
be, you know,
porn. I don't get it. Like all these 35-year-old women reliving summer camp. Is this healthy?
It would be true justice if you died at the Taylor Swift show.
It would absolutely be true justice.
If we went and you died.
Yeah.
And she said, "I'm glad that my music ended the life of that fascist."
No, right, right. And by the way, if I die at her show,
her handwritten font.
Yeah, please, in handwritten font.
It is with a fully functioning and uncongested heart that I
hope she goes. Gladly that announced. Fat fuck said I was mediocre and he deserved to die. Hearing me play my mediocre songs, of which there is one song. She's like Taco Bell. There's one thing they've made 30 ways.
Right.
Mm.
That's what it is, and it is a testament to the rotten society we live in, that it is the biggest thing ever. I don't know what to tell people.
Can people have that criticism of like they have criticism of like middle, like just the things that most people eat up, like
yes.
accessible pop culture, and they're like, it's because everyone's stupid and I'm a genius. That's why I like fucking Kurt Cobain and you like,
yeah.
you know,
no,
and it's like, no, it's just it's like a hamster wheel. It's like this yeah. is something that you can just hop on and.
I'm not saying that it's, I'm a genius and her fans aren't geniuses.
I know,
although
but,
there might there's some a little bit of an argument there, but. Here's what I will say. I will say it's banal. Go listen
right.
to Janis Joplin. Go
right,
listen to fucking The Supremes. Go listen to Fitzgerald. Go listen to...
you can do that.
Alanis Morissette's better.
I don't think anybody... Nobody's like, it's just Taylor Swift for me, thanks. I don't want anything else. It's like, you know...
But it's you're inundated with it. Every day, it's just that.
If you're,
it's
if you're,
on every social
had
media
your
feed.
Job doing graphic design for the Pedophile Island on you have the brochures.
I'm just meaning it's so big that anything that's so big, there's an inevitability that you get a little tired of, like, it being pushed on you.
I guess I just, maybe then I'm letting some other things bleed into this. Because it's, did you see this, like, everyone's going after Matt Rife now. And now there's articles about
okay.
it.
Okay, but was it everyone or is it like...
No, well, now there's articles. And
well,
now
they're always going to write
and now,
articles.
And now Marin's got a thing where he's like, this guy's fucking sucks. And like Marin's having the comment on the state of comedy.
Oh.
And this guy, and it's like, did he do anything other than sell
a bunch
of tickets?
No, he made a joke. Yeah, no, he didn't do anything wrong.
Well, people aren't mad at the comedy even. They're like, it sucks.
Well,
like, a lot of comedy
I honestly,
sucks.
I don't even know his stand-up at all. The shit that I've seen that he's done has been fine. It's not.
I might do something with him.
Yeah, but why do people hate him so much?
Do a movie. We're trying to do like a buddy cop. It's me and him. No, I'm dead serious.
Well, I'm saying
I think he's great.
In a roundabout way, this is kind of like low hanging fruit because the fact that he can generate all that money is a testament that he is like making the hamster wheel, mm-hmm. and to go after the hamster wheel is like that's not. It's like
no, but I'm saying like for example with the Taylor Swift thing,
mm-hmm.
does she this woman get hurt if five people in the world say she's not great?
No.
Everyone I've ever met says she's phenomenal. By the way, all I like to do occasionally is go, wait a minute. Remember when everyone said Meghan Markle was the hero because she married a prince and was an actress? Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, God bless Taylor Swift. Good for her. When there is a paralyzing force of which everyone agrees it is the greatest thing ever,
yeah.
let there be some people to go, wait a minute, what?
Yeah, I guess I'm like that with Whataburger. Or not Whataburger, sorry, yeah. In-N-Out.
No, you're right.
Everybody loves In-N-Out.
No, why? I agree with you.
And it's like...
I agree with you.
So, in that sense...
And I'm not saying she shouldn't do what she does or whatever.
Right.
I think it's our generation as well. We're just... I think we were like sort of like...
And by the way,
you kind of touched on it before. You
Marin
said about like Alanis Morissette, right?
Yeah.
Like our generation, like...
We wanted grunge.
We wanted it to be a little darker.
I wanted women cutting themselves.
Yeah.
I wanted my women entertainers bleeding on the floor.
By the way, I saw the the Alanis Morissette play. The
musical, horrible.
Jagged Little Pill.
Was it good?
Oh my God, it was the worst thing I've ever seen.
No, it's terrible.
Dude, it's fucking crazy.
No, I believe Alanis Morissette now should be executed.
It was nuts.
She should be executed
It's all of her great songs, and the whole play is just like a girl gets raped,
yeah.
and it's them trying to like deal with and process this girl
yeah.
getting raped to Alanis Morissette music. It's fucking crazy.
You see, Marin's going after everyone. He hates everyone. The comedian compares Rife to Dan Cook and then suggested that anti-woke comics like Bill Maher have to die sooner. The thing about him is this is just kind of bitter, angry stuff.
Well, what I saw is this was...
Or maybe,
I briefly saw this morning, but then it said it was in some kind of like state of comedy thing, which I thought that was only done...
Is it a podcast?
At JFL or
Here's what I like about Mark Marin. He's always very nice to me, and I can tell he kind of hates me.
Mm.
But he's always nice to me, even though I think he hates me.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
He's like a nice guy, even though I believe he hates me. Which, yeah. by the way, I think is nice.
I guess I just think that this is like going after this guy is bizarre.
It's bizarre, sure.
Yeah.
I think it's bizarre. What did Matt do? He sold tickets, he makes people happy.
Right, yeah, that's why.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
People are mad about his opening joke.
In the same way that the Taylor Swift thing, whenever something gets seismic,
yeah.
what comes with that, and it's healthy. I think it's healthy to have some detractors.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's okay. When something grows to the size of either Matt or whatever, Taylor, you're going to have some detractors. And learning to just shrug that off is good. That's actually good. Yeah. Otherwise, it's a cult of people that all just go, you are, ah.
Debbie, do you think Taylor Swift is ever good. Actually on social media, though?
I think that's good, though. I think you should have a cult of people that are like, you're...
But they have that.
You're God.
They have the biggest cult.
Yeah.
So what's wrong with a few detractors? Matt Rife doesn't give a shit about this article in Who Cares magazine.
I think we should put Marc Maron in jail.
Well, maybe for other reasons, I'd agree.
I think should. I think we should execute Marc Maron for his.
Well, if you want to go down comedy into who we can execute, I mean, there's a lot of people.
Anybody
we
that's
execute.
Got a problem, yeah. Anybody's got a problem with Taylor Swift, you're going to jail.
Yeah, I mean that's coming.
Yeah, I think our path forward is creating a monoculture where there's one type.
That's my only.
We
thing.
Have one musician. It's yeah, Taylor Swift.
That's
we
what
have
I mean.
One
it's
comedian,
like, it does
it's
feel
Matt
like
Ryan. We have one
we
president.
We get obsessed with like one.
It's Marianne Williamson.
I'm reading this. I love when Aaron goes. I don't know. I don't even understand what any of this means.
Mm-hmm. I can't see. I didn't wear my glasses here, so I can't read any of this.
Let me read the quote.
Yeah.
If you don't know who he is, he's the new It Boy of shitty comedy, and he's taking a big chance in his career right now to shit on the mostly female audience that he accumulated through social media to sort of kiss up to these pseudo edgelords. And personally, I don't think it's going to go well for him. And ultimately, my producer, Brendan McDonald, the genius, made a good point in saying that he thinks that Matt Rife is actually mobilizing a new generation of comics to push back against what that stands for, much in the way that Dane Cook did to a different time, to once again, you know, be creative and bring new energy and voice to what that doesn't represent. When I tell you I don't know what that means, I genuinely don't know what that means.
Also, I mean, so I genuinely the comparison of no Matt Rife to Dane Cook, I don't even really see it.
The only comparison that exists is Dane Cook was popular and that bothered Marc Maron.
Right.
It's not like Dane Cook was an edgelord.
No,
Dane Cook was a guy that was on stage being like, bees are crazy.
Yeah, no, he wasn't.
Can you imagine being stung by bees?
Luggage.
You know? Right, I mean, it was fucking harmless.
Yeah.
So
I literally show my 10-year-old son Dane Cook bits.
Some people are too, comedy means too much to them.
The tell is all in the comparison.
I think Mark's a guy where he's very deadly serious about comedy all the time. And it's kind of like a silly job. And it's like, do we really need to be that serious about it? It's a little...
Yeah. Well, it's funny because it's such like a Gen X, he's like a very Gen X type of guy.
Right.
Which is like, oh, I'm smart because I got Doc Martens on.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I went to college, pal. Right. You know, it's like, does he say anything that's smart?
I mean, is the context?
I don't think that's a fair question.
Does he? I don't know.
Is he supposed to be shitting on things? Did they give him subjects to like fucking rant on? Because in that case, I'll give him a little bit of
It's healthy, though. Here's what I think is healthy about this. Uh-huh. I think it's healthy that you got a guy out there going, okay, fuck it. I don't like this. That's fine. That's healthy.
Of course.
All of us, by the way, have that every day.
But this is presented as in, like, we've checked in with the comedy godfather.
What is this even? Who's right? What articles? Go up.
The
Vox.
Yeah.
The Daily Beast.
Daily Beast.
The Daily Beast.
And Vox. Vox also.
And Vox. I mean, like, right.
And Huffington Post.
Sure, and this is by Sean L. McCarthy, who came to my show at Carnegie Hall and didn't write about it. Thank you.
That guy stinks.
Yeah. So,
is that the comics comic?
The comics comic.
That guy
sucks. Always hated the comics comic.
That's what I mean. It's like, who cares?
That's such a fucking herb.
He's the fucking worst.
By the way, he makes a New York Times guy that I also have certain issues with, Zinnemann, look like the greatest journalist of all time. The comics comic makes Jason Zinnemann look like Cy Hirsch.
He's one of the most smug guys in the world. He used to show up at shows and he'd be like, well, you know, I used to be a comedian.
Yeah, he's a cunt. Like, he's a cunt. He was on Bobby Kelly's podcast. I don't remember what my issue was with him. He wrote some shit about me a while ago that was kind of shitty, and he was just like kind of condescending and cunty with it. And I'm like, dude, like, just go fuck yourself. You're like just a person who's trying to be a comedy critic. Mm-hmm. Like, just that's your goal. That's fucking psychotic.
Well, also the name is ridiculous to brand himself as. Well, I'm the comedian that all the other comedians are like, this guy's the fucking best.
Well, this is what I mean. So this is the guy that wrote the article.
Yeah.
And now it's like, what? Like, mm-hmm.
I mean, his name might as well be, I'm the best comedian.
Right.
That's how he brands himself. Right. As I'm the comedy journalist known as the best comedian.
Yeah. I've decided to do journalism instead. Right. I'm the greatest comedian.
Yeah, I'm the one. I'm the
comics comic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's...
He was like a step above Patrick from The Stand in his old vlog. Like, that's like...
I think it's a step below Patrick.
Yeah, maybe.
No, Patrick was great. Patrick just liked comedy.
Patrick liked comedy.
No, Patrick's... But I'm just saying, like, in terms of how to take it seriously as journalism.
This whole new thing where everything's got to be a beef... is stupid.
Oh, I hate it.
Comics are not beefing with each other like that. It's not rap. It's none of that. No one cares.
Everybody's old now.
Everyone's old. Everyone's 40. People are like going to the doctor. Like,
yeah. I'm not still.
Yeah, you're still not.
I need to.
Like, that's the thing. Nobody's in the streets like that. Mm-hmm. That's the reality.
Yeah.
People just don't like each other. Anthony Jeselnik doesn't like me because I did that thing about... When he went after you guys, I defended you guys.
Yeah.
He doesn't like me. That's fine. No one cares.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one cares.
You're not supposed to like everybody.
We're not supposed to be friends with every person we know.
If you like, if you're a person that you like everybody, you're a liar. You're just a phony. You're not a real person.
So the reality, I respect that Marin doesn't give a fuck and whatever he's right or wrong about. It's just like you need a cantankerous guy to when something new comes along to go, fuck that. You need that guy.
Yeah.
Now, you don't have to be that guy, but somebody's got to do that. Somebody's got to do that, you know?
I don't think that's necessary.
You don't think it's necessary?
No.
Why?
Well, it's sort of a contradiction. If, like, people aren't beefing, that I mean, it's literally...
Well, here's the thing. It's not... This isn't even a beef.
Yeah.
This is an old comic who hates everything and everybody. Uh-huh. That's the thing he's been doing for 30 years.
So he's just doing his bit, then.
Yeah, what a hot guy comes and goes, I'm filling theaters with women, and this guy's gonna go, yay! No!
Right.
His whole...
Well, he doesn't have to go, yay. But it's like
you
know what it is, as a comic,
we did the state of the industry address at JFL for years. His whole point was that this entire industry sucks and everyone in it sucks and every decision everyone makes is wrong. So that's been his thing forever.
Yeah.
That's why I don't find it like inconsistent.
I just, when I started in comedy in a weird way, this is just the way that I've always thought of it. It's like there's us and them. And I kind of root for comics. You kind of see somebody like Matt Rife. Yeah. I watch you blow up. I watch Shane blow up. I watch Andrew Schultz blow up. You're like, oh, shit, dude. Like, this is, like, good for comedy overall.
It's all good for comedy. Yeah,
exactly, because it'll lead to ticket sales for other people.
It's all
people.
Good for comedy.
Yeah, yeah,
even if you're nothing like him.
Especially, like...
100%.
And that's it was sort of how it always was, like... Like, I didn't really understand the whole comedy beef thing. It was like, when I started in comedy, it was like everybody came from a different background. You had college graduates, you had homeless people, you had old ladies, you had all these different types of people, and we all just came to do the same thing, and it was just about just getting funny. And, when I watched somebody like Matt Rife blow up, even if I didn't I don't know his comedy well enough to have a real opinion on it, but even if I didn't like it, I'd go, fuck it, dude, good for him. He's fucking killing it, selling out massive
There's not one ounce of me that... has any negative things to say about anyone blowing up, really.
Yeah.
You know? I think it's funny when you are a comedian, your job is to kind of make fun of culture. So, Lewis, you brought this up. When a comedian gets so, so famous that they become part of culture.
Yeah.
It's like when Amy became just a celebrity.
Pete Davidson.
Yeah.
I love Pete. He's such a sweet kid.
Like, whenever,
but it's like
part of my thing is that everyone I know
are
is
you still
going to...
Are you still friends with Amy?
I don't think we were ever friends.
Oh, really?
We've texted.
Yeah.
We've texted. With the Israel stuff, I'm like, good for you. I like, because here's my point, not necessarily what everything she's saying. I will say that if you have that amount of money and do whatever you want, say whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Go out there and say whatever you want. If that doesn't buy you the, like... opportunity to piss everyone off or a lot of people off, what's the point of it? Mm-hmm. You know? And I did think that she was like going on lighting stuff on fire. And I thought that was kind of good. As a comic, I was like, good for you. It didn't seem like she's been cautious and calculated with that stuff. Now, it doesn't mean she was correct, but it did feel like she was like, hey, I'm just...
Yeah.
I think we should kill them all.
If you have fuck...
she was tweeting, kill them all. It's like, well...
If you have fuck you money and you don't say fuck you
well,
once in a while,
point.
That's crazy.
The point.
That's what Rogan, when they came after Rogan with that N-word compilation.
But that's a different story because here's the deal. he's not a guy that he doesn't, I don't think he thinks white people should go around willy-nilly using that word.
Willy-nilly?
Yeah.
Willy-nilly himself.
The black guy.
Willy-nilly is okay to use it.
I use whatever word I want.
I don't think you should be calling willy-nilly that word.
I don't think Joe is, I don't think
Joe called willy-nilly the N-word.
Yeah, Joe was, I think Joe was literally going, I regret using that word, act like really realistically.
Yeah.
I don't think he was like, I have to fold for Spotify. Mm-hmm. I think he looked back on it and was like, ugh, he's got kids, he's got daughter. You know what I mean? I don't think he wants them saying that joke about Planet of the Apes, although
I don't think I watched the clip when it came out. I saw the headline, I was like, I've heard the N-word before.
I have as well.
Yeah, I don't know about it.
From me.
I've been to Gas Digital.
You've been to my apartment.
I've been to Gas Digital now.
I've already heard the N-word. I don't know.
What are we promoting, gentlemen, here on the at the end of this? We've solved so many problems in comedy.
I guess, yeah. I feel like I've just caused more problems for myself.
I'm getting 3 lawsuits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Brock Pierce.
I analyst.
Rough note to start off
with. Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, it gives context to Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
I love, by the way, that is the thing about white people. It's just your island will be colonized by white pedophiles no matter what you do.
Right.
Like, they're coming now or later.
Yeah.
Nick Mullen, the special, is out on the Adam Friedland Show YouTube. Adam Friedland Show.
When does this come out?
Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. So Sunday.
With Abby Martin. We're dropping 2 episodes. This and Abby Martin. Abby Martin. Take a look at that one.
Sunday is the premiere. It'll be on the Adam Friedland Show channel. If you haven't watched the Adam Friedland Show, please check it out. Our last one was with Dave Portnoy from Barstool. But yeah, premiere Sunday. We might do like a live stream premiere thing. There's like a YouTube premiere. So we might get all the cameras going in the studio and have a party.
Luis J. Gomez is the proprietor and CEO of the Gas Digital Network. On the Gas Digital Network, you'll find shows like Legion of Skanks, the Real Ass Podcast, Part of the Problem with Dave Smith, and many others.
Yeah.
LuisofSkanks.com.
That is the website. New tour coming up.
Is where you can find his new tour where he'll be going to Lisbon, Portugal, with 15 people and then wondering why he has not turned a profit. He'll be playing a cafe there.
Check out my half hour that I just put out on my YouTube channel. I have my first special up there as well. Luis J. Gomez presents Luis J. Gomez. And the Meaty Ogre tour coming to a city near you.
I want to come on a few dates of that to just Please. Jump on it. Just
I would,
for fun.
I would love you
because
to.
Because we enjoy you. We talked about you on Matt and Shane.
Good. I heard you guys said all good things.
It's always amazing things. But we talked about how at the beginning of Gas Digital, you would have these meetings in Ralph's house, and you'd be like, now Brenda is our new ad person, and it would just be like a retarded woman from Staten Island with a shopping bag, and she'd have like one eye would be like wandering, and you'd be like, Brenda, what's going on with the ads? And she'd be like, they're ads. And you'd be like, good. But no, we said amazing things. All right, I love both of you. Always great to see you. Thank you for coming on, and we'll see you soon.
Love you, Timmy.
Thank you.